And the Buddha distinguishes three kinds of suffering that we need to pay attention to. First of all, the suffering of suffering. Secondly, the suffering of change. And thirdly, the suffering of conditioned existence. So first of all, the suffering of suffering. Suffering is painful. And suffering happens. We're in a world, we're in a mode of being where suffering occurs. That's the kind of psychophysical organism we have. That's the world we are in. Suffering is there. We get ill, we get injured, and so on. It happens, and there's no use complaining or hand-wringing about it. We need to recognise that we're in a world where change happens, things break up and move on, that leads to pain. Life is painful, so we just need to get real about that and not keep complaining about the suffering that's kind of inherent to our life. Secondly, the suffering of change. We've already seen that life is change and that suffering is bound up with that change. So much suffering comes about through loss, through ending, through changing circumstances. Things which even were pleasurable somehow turn into things which are painful. It's well worth noticing that. You know, that wonderful piece of music where you gain so much pleasure, you keep listening to it, and after a while you're thinking, well, I'm getting a bit fed up with this. It somehow becomes painful. And there's also a level to our being that is dimly aware of change. Dimly aware of change. And there can be a real anxiety in relation to that. A real anxiety in people, real pain, because they're kind of aware of change. They haven't fully confronted it, but it's there, and that causes a great deal of anxiety. And there's a lot of anxiety around these days, and one wonders if it's because people kind of know that things change, and in fact change is accelerating so much, but people don't really notice it, don't really take it on. So there can be this terrible anxiety. We don't really address that sense of insecurity. Don't really look at it. We paper over the cracks. Occasionally something happens and we can't ignore the suffering involved in change. We see this with bereavement or a great catastrophe. For a while, when that happens, people begin to question themselves. But maybe it's not for very long, and it's not thorough enough. So we need to pay attention to the suffering that comes through change. We need to have a good look at it. Thirdly, there's the suffering of conditioned existence itself. Sangharakshita has called this existential suffering. This is the suffering that's inherent in being a conditioned being, an unenlightened being. There is something within us that wants to unfold and expand towards enlightenment. We might have everything we need and more. Everything is going well, but there's a deep, profound dissatisfaction with it all. And this, of course, was the Buddha's own experience long before his enlightenment, when he was a young man in the palace. He was born into royalty with wealth and comfort and power and privilege. But he was deeply dissatisfied with it all, troubled by it all, by illness and old age and death. What's the point? But something even deeper than that, a deep longing for spiritual freedom. There was this sort of, there's a story which brings together the Buddha's concerns about the nature of existence with his deep longing for liberation. They're kind of connected. There's a beautiful description in one text of him riding out into the forest. He just leaves his friends. And he comes alone to the edge of a field. And this is very poignantly described. You can look this up in what's called the Buddha Charita, or the Acts of the Buddha, by Ashvaghosha, who was a very great Sanskrit poet. And what is described is an old man ploughing a field with an old bullock. And what comes over is the toil in the scene, the toil of the old man, the toil of the bullock, of the ox, and the thousands of broken creatures being cut up as the earth is ploughed. It's like, well, it's described, it could be something out of Bruegel or something like that. It's extraordinarily vivid. And it's as if the Buddha is seeing this as the sort of sufferings of existence itself. It's not just the suffering of those particular individuals, those particular animals, but it's life itself, the toil of life, the endless round. And as he looked, they kind of opened up this kind of weariness with this endless toil, that opened up this profound meditation, this profound experience of moving towards dhyana, this deep spiritual aspiration and longing unfolding, his spiritual potential unfolding in response to that. And you know, he had to follow that, had to dedicate his whole life to that. So we need to pay attention to this much deeper suffering, this feeling of being cramped and limited, of just actually that we're really kind of fed up with the toil of life, the toil of existence. That's our potential for enlightenment, clamouring for attention. You know, we might think it's what we need is a holiday, or you know, a new relationship, or a new car, you know, or a new computer, you know, or this book or that book. But actually, it's probably, you know, and those things don't satisfy. Actually, it's our deep spiritual potential that's calling out to us, saying, come on, pay attention to me. And again, the verse says, when we see the truth of suffering with insight, with wisdom, we become weary of suffering. It sounds strange. See the truth, see, have insight into suffering, we become weary of suffering. But the point is, when we really look into suffering in the way I've described, we turn away from the needless suffering we inflict on ourselves and others. We see much more clearly the suffering that we create through our craving and attachment. We enter the path of purity, the path of unfolding pure and skillful states, expanding states towards enlightenment.